everyone. Chaos here. Before we get into the episode this week, I just want to thank you all. This week marks our 3rd anniversary, and we probably wouldn't still be doing it after our episode on Final Destination without the support of our listeners. I mean, let's be honest. Did you hear that episode? Did you? If you haven't listened to it, you should go back and listen to it, because we almost come to blows. It's pretty great. So thank you, everyone, and here's to another 3 years. Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 143, Urban Legends, Final Cut.
This fall, legends like this podcast never die. Because you can't kill us because we're undead. Duh.
Well, I am. Are you now, too?
I don't want to talk about it, but I might be.
Just you saying. Might be? Were you going to tell me?
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk later. On our friends, all vampire podcast. Friends,
if they're the undead, I'm just telling
okay,
you.
Okay, I am the undead, but we'll talk more about it later.
Oh my gosh.
Not good?
All right, fine. If you don't want to bestow this amazing story that no doubt exists on our listeners, I won't make you.
No, instead I will bestow an amazing movie for tonight. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody. What is up? It is us, your friendly neighborhood hosts, Chaos and Carnage.
Hey.
I don't know. I was trying to do something different, shake things up, you know?
It's so weird today. It's just so weird.
I'm sorry. No, it's okay. I'll stop being weird.
That'll never happen. Sorry, Charlie. You not being weird would be like bread turning into peaches. It just, it can't happen. I mean, the molecular structure couldn't happen. You can't make it happen. So.
Okay.
I do like peaches too.
Peaches come in a can. They were put there by the man.
So does bread.
In a factory downtown.
By the river?
And if I had my little way, I'd eat peaches every day.
Do you want to tell them who we are and what we do before we get on to a
You don't know
peaches?
That song?
No! I thought you were just making this up.
No, that is a song!
Oh. Well, you didn't say
You don't know Peaches by the Presidents of the United States of America?
No.
Wow, okay.
Maybe if you sang it, I would know it. Try again.
No, I'm good. I'm not singing. You can't make me. Because it's horrible. Nobody wants to hear that. Hey, everybody. So this is They Mostly Podcast at Night. We are two best friends of 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different scary movie each week that we take turns picking. And quite a lot of times they are revenge picks. Sometimes they are genuine, I want to watch this movie picks. And other times they are, I know my co-host will hate this picks. Hashtag Mariana's Trench of Hate. Hashtag Friendship Goals. So how are you today, Carnage?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, too.
Well, this week we watched Urban Legend Final Cut. Okay, and this is obviously a sequel to Urban Legend, but moving on. This was done in 2000. It was
Question?
Yes.
When you're done, sorry.
Oh. Okay. It was rated R. It was 1 hour and 37 minutes long, and it got a 4.3 on the IMDb scale. Do you want to do tomato meter, or do you want me to answer your question first?
Answer my question, please.
Okay. What's your question?
My question is, do you need, like, does it make any more sense if you have seen the first one?
No.
Oh, okay.
So
I wasn't missing out on anything.
It's very minor. It's very minor. And I'll go over it with you in this podcast.
Okay.
But it's extremely minor. My recommendation is watch the first one. Don't watch this one. That's my recommendation from the bat. So.
Oh, okay.
Too late for you, though, Chaos. Suck it up.
Yeah, because I already watched it, unfortunately. So, I believe you were about to ask me about the tomato meter.
I was, yes. I would love to know what the tomato meter is.
The tomato meter is one of the lowest scores I have ever seen on this show. 9%, just a giant green splotch at 9%. Not 19, nine.
It's lucky it got that, honestly.
Less than 10, I'm just, wow. Okay, so critics' consensus, this teen horror movie brings nothing new to an already exhausted genre, and it's bad. Really bad.
Wait, audience score? That?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought you're like editorializing. I'm like, don't editorialize. No,
I did not editorialize on that at all. That's really what it said. Audience score 20%.
Wow. So the 4.3 IMDb got was pretty
generous.
Yeah. Okay.
Holy cow!
I will say this was a Carnage pick, and it wasn't necessarily a revenge pick. It has been probably close to the 20 years since I've seen this movie. I own the first one, and I honestly could not remember. All I can remember is parts of the trailer. I couldn't remember the rest of this movie. So it came up on Shudder, and it was about to leave. Don't worry if you missed it on Shudder. You're not missing anything. And I made you watch it, and I'm sorry.
You know what? It was weird, though. It was like vaguely familiar. I'd almost felt like I had watched it at some point in my past and then repressed the memory as like, you know, a way to keep myself safe from the harm that it did.
Yeah, like how they do that if you have a trauma. Yeah, I mean, it's more than possible. This movie is 20 years old, so it's more than possible that you've seen it. But I didn't show it to you. No claws on the computer. Jesus.
Are you sure you didn't show it to me? Because you showed me a lot of bad movies.
No, I haven't seen this movie since it came out. So, yeah, I haven't seen this movie. I promise.
I didn't go with you to it, did I?
No, I wouldn't have gone to the theater for this shit. I don't like going to the theater that much.
Oh, that's right. You know, I always forget.
You know, it just depends on the movie. I don't feel like it's worth the wasting of the money. Unless it's like a movie I really want to see. Or like a movie that makes a really big difference in a theater. Or like we go on a cheap night. Because I'm a cheap bitch. I'll be honest.
Well, I always go on cheap nights, yeah. But I miss the movies, the movie theater.
I don't. Yeah. The last time I went to the movie theater, I got sick with pneumonia, so which we think was the coronavirus. We're not sure because it was in February. So, yeah. And you were supposed to come with me. Corona. You were supposed to come with me and you didn't, bitch.
Really?
Yeah, you backed out. I don't remember why. Probably because you didn't want to see the movie, but that doesn't matter.
Oh, it was some terrible movie.
It was Brie and I went, who shall now be named Sloth, because that's her favorite animal. Sloth and I went, and it was Fantasy Island, which you are going to watch. I'm going to make you watch, but I did get sick.
Aww.
Yeah, sorry, sucker.
No.
Yes.
There's no fucking way.
Yes, it's on my list. And as soon as it becomes streaming somewhere and not paper, we're watching it.
Ugh.
It's not bad. It's not as horrible as you think it is. It's not as bad as this movie.
It is.
No. You what?
Most movies are really this bad, but, you know, I try to be nice.
You gotta make your own judgment, so don't listen to what everyone else says. It's a good movie. It's not bad. Stop. God, don't go into it with these preconceived notions that's gonna be horrible just because I picked it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've not heard anyone say one word about Fantasy Island. I've seen the trailer, and I would not go to that movie.
Oh, you suck. Well, it was Cheap Night. That's why I went for that one. So, and Sloth wanted company. So, you know.
Why did she want to go see it?
Because she loves horror.
That much? That she'll just go see anything that's horror?
For $6 at a night without the kid? Yeah, she'll go to the movie theater for that. should we get to cast? Because we're really diverging.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut some of this out. It's long.
No. Don't keep it. Don't cut it out.
It's all you gold. Always want to keep me to keep everything.
I do, because it's all gold. Except the part where I'm yelling at Zoe for eating my computer. Keep going, though. You're doing great.
We're going to cast, right?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
So pumped.
Let's see. Amy Mayfield was Jennifer Morrison.
Some may recognize her more as a brunette because she was in House MD and Once Upon a Time. as a brunette.
That's right. As a brunette. Yes. I recognized her. Okay. Travis Stark and Trevor Stark were both Matthew Davis. Like, you couldn't tell.
Wait, they weren't twins? What are you talking about? That's crazy. No, I'm just kidding. He was from Legally Blonde and The Vampire Diaries.
The Vampire Diaries. Wow. Hush. Professor Solomon was Hart Bachner.
So he's done some stuff, but the only one I care about, he was a douche in this movie, and he played Douche Ellis in Die Hard. And that's the biggest thing he's known for, is being Douche Ellis. And that's why I renamed the character, Douche Ellis. So, you've seen Die Hard, right?
Of course.
You know who Ellis is, right?
Like, I don't watch it, like, every freaking
year. How do you
year?
Not watch it everywhere? It's a Christmas holiday movie. It's a
I was being sarcastic. Classic. I do that.
I was gonna say we can't be friends anymore if you can't watch it.
Hello, you know I'm sarcastic about everything that comes out of my mouth.
Duh.
Anyway, yes, I know who you're talking about.
Douchebag. Reese. Corn stash. Sorry.
Reese, our friendly neighborhood security guard, was played by Loretta Devine.
As Cass pointed out when we were doing Castle, she's been in a lot of stuff. But you guys all remember her from Urban Legend 1. She was the only cast member to come back until we get to the very end. Then we've got an uncredited cameo, which I'll go into that. But she was known for Boston Public, Grey's Anatomy, and Crash, among a ton of other shit. She's amazing. I love Loretta
Devine. The PJs.
The what?
That's my favorite thing that she's done, the PJs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's in the PJs, too. Oh, my gosh, she's done so much stuff. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Graham Manning was played by Joey Lawrence.
No, from Blossom, 90s crush, and Melissa and Joey.
What was Melissa and Joey?
It's this, I don't know, I haven't seen it. It's with Melissa Joan Hart, so I kind of want to watch it. But at the same time, I kind of don't hate myself that much. So, I don't know.
Okay. Toby was played by Anson Mount.
He was in Star Trek Discovery and Hell on Wheels.
Star Trek Discovery.
I know, it's your favorite Star Trek, right?
Yeah, you can tell.
I can tell.
Vanessa Valdion was played by Ava Mendez.
She's known for a ton of stuff, pretty famous now. Hitch, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I found out she was in Children of the Corn 5, though, so I feel like I have to check that out now.
OMG. Is that the one where they're like urban growing corn? Because that's my favorite of the sequels.
No idea.
It's, like, in the city, but they're growing corn in, like, this tiny little patch.
Okay, we definitely have to watch this then. Oh, my God.
It's so fucking funny. Oh, my God, it's great. Anyway, where was I? Sandra was Jessica Caulfield.
She was also on Legally Blonde with Matt Davis, and she was in White Chicks.
Yes, and she was in... Shoot. Sorry, I lost it. There's a movie she was in that I liked.
I know, and I can't remember which one it is.
That I know her from, and I can't think of what it was.
It was White Chicks, wasn't it?
You know it. Stan was played by Anthony Anderson.
Another really famous one now. He's in Blackish. He was in Scream 4, but my favorite thing of his is The Departed.
Oh, yeah. He was good in The Departed.
Yeah.
Dirk was Michael Bacall.
He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Inglourious Basterds. And we're going to have to watch Death Proof again because I know we want to do it for this cast. Or at least it's on my list. But he was Omar, which I don't remember who the fuck Omar was. So we're going to have to watch it for that.
Okay. Simon was Marco Hofschneider.
He's actually really German. He's been in a lot of German stuff, but he was also in The Island of Dr. Moreau and Europa, Europa.
P.A. Kevin was played by Derek Asland. Asland. I think it's Asland. Asland. I'm going to say Asland.
That's skulls, and he was a featured graveyard undead in Resident Evil Apocalypse. That's what he's known for. So,
good job, Derek. Good job,
Derek. Round of applause.
Lisa was played by Jacinda Barrett.
She's in Bloodline and Zero Hour. Would you like a 5-second summary or a short little summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
Film students decide urban legends make good premises for films. Art imitates life and things go awry.
Never heard that before.
What, that things go awry?
But no, I meant the premise of the movie. Oh. Your summary was apt.
Yes.
I approve.
And that's what I say, because we were talking a little bit before this. I was like, I have a love-hate. I'm like, oh, love's too hard, easy. But I have a like-hate relationship with this, because I do like the nerd factor, like the film nerd factor, but it makes for a stupid fucking premise for a horror film.
Yeah, it's like, I really like the idea of, like, I mean, totally give me the premise of something happening on a film set. That's cool. I'm totally down for that. That sounds like, I love to see movies being made. So, you know, that's interesting to me. So, yeah. But then this stupid, her stupid idea for a movie that,
okay, so let me explain what the first movie was, okay? And then, because I think maybe a little background helps, but not, I mean, it's not pertinent. It kind of worked for the first movie to have urban legends as the thing. So there was a campus killer, which everyone knew about, and everyone was vigilant, and everyone was scared of it. They would kill people based on urban legends, like different things, like, fuck, I don't even remember, like the killer in the backseat of the car, okay? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first movie, it kind of worked, but her ideas, it's like, how do you make it one cohesive movie? What they're planning, basically. It doesn't really work as one cohesive movie for her movie within the movie.
No.
It just doesn't. And my problem with this movie, one of many problems, not her ears, but the only person that knows about the killer is Amy. Basically.
Yeah.
In the first one, the whole campus knew. So the whole campus was, you know, some of the campus was frightened. Some of the campus were idiots and didn't wear masks and they got coronavirus and died because of it. That's another story. In this movie, only Amy knows about the killer. You're frightening one person. That doesn't thrill me. Frighten more people, you know?
Frighten more people. Carnage demands more people be scared in the movie.
Well, think about for the experience factor of it. Does it really scare you if no one knows about this little secret, only one person knows about this? It's like, I don't know. Just kind of bothered me.
It's weird because it's like everybody else is just fine and you've got like this one little thread of tension running through everybody else just being fine.
Yes, everyone else is normal. They think it's a joke. They're like, oh, it's fine. That's fine.
And everybody keeps telling her not to go to the cops. And I kept thinking that was going to come out and be resolved some way. Like, she was going to figure out that there was some reason that nobody wanted her to go to the cops. But it was never addressed. People just kept telling her not to go to the cops.
And it wasn't just one person telling her not to go to the cops. It was different people telling her. And none of them were the killer. No one trusts cops. Apparently this took place in 2020 where no one could trust the cops. You tell the killers on loose, they might shoot you. I don't know. You know?
Well, no, but that wasn't her, you know, their fear was, they're not going to believe you. So don't go to the cops. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're talking about murder, I'm going to go to the cops.
Right.
And tell them, you know, somebody was killed. Like,
but Cash, you have no proof. They're not going to believe you. Missing body so might, weird. You know, just saying. What if we do a missing person?
I guess no body, no crime. I don't know.
Oh, good point. That's why I've never been arrested, I guess.
Yeah. Because I handle that for you.
I know. Yeah, so there's parts of this, like I said, I like the geeky film part of it. Like, how they're all, like, knowledgeable about film. Like, oh, you know, I don't even know. There's a Hitchcock Award that everyone's going for at this film school. I guess I'll just kind of hop into this. Everyone's kind of competing for this award. and the award pretty much guarantees you a shot in Hollywood. One film shot in Hollywood is basically what it guarantees you.
Yeah, somehow.
So everyone's clamoring for this. So,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
What I was just trying to remember, was he Travis first or Trevor first?
He was Travis. So Travis is a film student, yeah.
Travis is like this genius film, like the film student genius, you know, he's like the little film student Steven Spielberg or Wes Craven or what have you.
Yes. There's
whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, the biggest film directors are Travis, Amy, and Toby. They're the biggest directors. Everyone seems to be behind the scenes, like Stan and Dirk do special effects. Vanessa does sound mostly. Sandra is an actress. She's a horrible fucking actress. Graham seems to be funny. And so Amy, Toby, and Travis are the big directors of this.
Yeah, you know, the cast could have been a lot worse because they could have had like crews that everybody had to cast for three people instead of just everybody pretty much being on Amy's crew.
Right. Good point. Well, I guess you find out towards the end, like, they all had to take turns and to get credit, like, you know, to get sound credit. I don't know how film school works. I guess it's very different than regular school. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I went to film school, but not for film, so.
Yeah, you're supposed to know these things. I don't know any of this shit.
But not for film. I went to one of the best film schools in the country, but not for film.
Oh, you just sat in the back and just watched, right?
No, I went there for graphic design. I know,
I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. The campus is pretty fucking sweet. It reminds me kind of like, it kind of looks like an edgy, artsy fucking campus. It was done up in Trent University in Peterborough, Ontario. Doesn't it look kind of artsy, fartsy, hip, trendy?
Trent these words. University. I'm looking it up.
Oh, well, I was just thinking about the buildings, how they were laid out and stuff. Although the bell tower wasn't really there. I know you don't care about the set. I'm just saying.
Holy cow.
Cool, huh?
Those buildings are cool looking.
Yeah. So, like, the bell tower doesn't exist, but everything else does. So let's just jump into the summary. I'm sorry. I'm getting way off track. I mean, I'm talking about this movie like when we... Everyone's watched it. I don't know. You might not have watched it. I don't know.
You keep telling people not to watch it, but you keep talking to them like they have.
All right. Well, we start off, we're in Toby's flick where, you don't know you're in a flick though. They're in an airplane where, there's a killer on the loose in the airplane.
On the airplane. Because that's smart.
That is smart. You've got...
I'm not cleaning up for you on an airplane, so don't even get any ideas.
What's that? Oh, no, because who would fly the plane? I mean, this killer killed everyone. He killed the flight attendants, the pilots. I mean, do you want to go down exactly. The plane? I mean,
I'd survive a plane crash, but would you?
I wouldn't. I mean, that's pointless. If you're gonna, I would just keep somebody alive to fly the plane at least so you can get out of it alive. I mean,
exactly.
What, you have one big hurrah and that's it. We're like, okay, I'm good. I've killed 300 people on a plane. I've lived my best life. I mean,
you know what? So, there's no cool, distinct cooling off period. So, and right. He's apparently just a thrill killer, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like your ultimate thrill is you kill 300 people at one time and then you die.
And then it's like, you gotta have the long game, you know, go serial. Don't just do, don't short plan it. Go long game, you know? Come on.
Yeah, no, this was terrible. This was a terrible premise for a movie, too. It's like, what?
Well, and it's the whole thing of the wing on the plane. He's kind of doing a horror film. Well, he is, obviously. He was trying to do a horror film. And you see it's this movie, this horrible fucking movie with these horrible actors. And Amy's actually working for him. And they're all aspiring filmmakers, and it's so great. They talk about the Alfred Hitchcock project, which everyone's trying to get to. And yes, Amy seeks out Travis, the ingenue. He's the best filmmaker in all of Ontario. But he's got no connections, no money. And you find out Amy is the daughter of a documentarian.
Ooh. And a famous documentarian, yes.
Yes. And she was originally going to do a documentary for her thesis film, which is apparently a thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she decides, no, I want to do horror. I want to do urban legends. Urban legends would be cool. Let's make that a film. Okay, cool. So, but she asked.
Okay, no.
What?
I love this because she pitches this to her professor, right?
Yes.
Pitches this urban legends idea to her professor, and he's like, that's a great idea. Nobody's ever thought about that before. That'll make a brilliant film. And he's not being sarcastic.
So yes, she goes and asks Travis for help, and Travis is all mopey because he got a C minus on his film, which how does the genius get a C minus? But that's okay. He goes out with his girlfriend the night before he helps Amy. And before he gets a C minus, he goes out with his girlfriend. Who's mm-hmm. going to leave. I think she's an actress from what I get from the conversation that I kind of listened to. And she's getting ready to head out. So she orders some drinks and someone slips them something. Ooh.
Yeah, both of them.
Into both of them, yeah. And somehow Travis leaves, but he's fine. But...
He didn't drink, I don't believe.
I don't think he did. I think she probably drank both of them.
He left before, and she drank one, but he left without drinking one.
Well, Toby's happens to be in the same bar, and Toby gets one of our chat awards for sure, because he's a big douchebag. There's a lot of douchebags in this movie. He's one of them. he
named after the first movie we ever did, Chad, who was a big giant douche.
Yes.
Chad in Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yes. Chad the Douche Canoe. That was his actual name in the movie. No, I'm just kidding. So after Travis leaves, Toby goes and hits on her. And luckily she tells him to fuck off, basically. And she's like, I'm just going to leave. This is get away from Toby. I got to get away from Toby anyway. I can't. I'm just going to leave. She's not feeling so hot. She's kind of feeling like she's been drugged, maybe. I don't know why. Maybe because she was drugged.
I can imagine.
And the weirdest thing, there is a coat room at a college club, which I will tell you in my many years in college going to clubs, there was never any fucking coat rooms. What kind of bougie college club is this? We know college clubs. You get in. You lick off the stamp or you wash it off in the bathroom. You drink undercover and you hide from the bouncers on the middle of the floor. There's no coat room, coat check room. What the fuck is this? It's in Hollywood. Come on. Or maybe like Boston. I don't know. So she can't find her coat. She's trying to look for it. Boom. The attacker grabs her, puts a bag around her head, knocks her out. She wakes up in a tub of ice, which was actually made of silicone. Looked very ice-like, I will say that. Mm-hmm. And her kidney's been taken out. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not that urban legend. Wake up with your kidney being
That is not the urban legend you want to die on, no. Mm-mm.
Well, I don't think that's the funny thing. Most people don't die from that urban legend. Their kidney's just gone and sold on the black market. Your worst part is you're down one kidney.
Well, he kills her.
Well,
he takes her kidney out.
No, I mean...
This is what does... It's so dumb, though, because it's like he takes her kidney out, then he kills her, then he throws her kidney away. It's like...
What was the point?
What was the point of actually taking her kidney out? I know he was trying to stick with the urban legend, but it was such a dumb one to pick because of that.
Yes. It really fucking was. Well, it was his first kill. He was getting his feet wet. I kind of get that part of it, but in the urban legend, the guy doesn't die. He just wakes up with one less kitty. It's like the best urban legend to actually live through. Because you don't die. You just wake up with one less kitty. Well, you got another one. You can move on. You know, I'm just saying. But yeah, she tries to escape. And in her escape, the window gets broken. Jagged edge. Boom. Actually, kind of like Suspiria, wasn't that? Where the fucking jagged window cut off the head of the chick? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that one of the Giallo films we saw? I want to say it was Suspiria.
There's always stuff about windows. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, boom goes her head. She's dead. Okay.
It's been like months since I've seen that movie. Mm-hmm. Months.
And the reason no one talks about Lisa and why this is like no one ever sees her body again or anything else. Like this is just like a one hit wonder scene. This was actually filmed in post-production. They figured they needed a killing faster. So that's why they killed her. They brought her in and killed her. And refilmed all of this. So it was never like, that's why no one ever mentions, where's Lisa? No one's heard from Lisa.
Okay.
You know.
I wondered why like Trevor wasn't concerned about the fact that his girlfriend was just like gone. Travis.
Well, Travis has got his own issues because the next day he gets a C-. Who cares about his girlfriend? He's got a C- on his movie.
Suddenly he's just drinking. He doesn't care about his girlfriend anymore.
That's fine. It's fine. But sadly, we find out the very next morning that Travis was so distraught, he committed suicide up in the bell tower. That's very sad. That's
yes, and it's really, you know what's terrible, really, is the professor standing down there saying to his students, he didn't just let himself down, he let us down. And I was like, oh my God, what a terrible thing to say.
Well, Professor Hallman's not the best man, obviously. I mean, hello.
Obviously not, because like that's the kind of thing that a psychopath says. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And I'm missing the urban legend that he was killed by, because they just did it as a fake suicide.
It was just a suicide. Yeah, fake not suicide. Seamless like, well, that's not an urban legend.
Yeah, so you've already made your first mistake, serial killer. You're a bad serial killer. You got to stick to one motive and go with it. I mean, you can't just do fake suicides and urban legends. I mean, choose a path. Disappointing.
That's right.
I'm disappointed in you, serial killer.
Very, very disappointed.
So... Amy goes on with her movie. It's all great. She was recommended Simon by Travis before he died. And he's this great DP, which is not double penetration. I found out it's director of photography. So
good to clarify that. Yeah, because I was confused. What the fuck?
We mentioned that this podcast is not for kids, right?
There's a reason it's an explicit tag, folks.
Anyway, so yes, he's this wonderful German Simon man. German, I don't know. His name's Simon. He's got this German name, but he's like, just call me Simon. Oh, Schwarm Jabosko. Just call me Simon. Much easier. So they're filming some scenes. This one's the one where the dog licks the hand and...
Oh,
yeah.
It's
not the dog. It's the humans can lick too. Whatever.
She always put her, when she was in bed to feel safe, she would always put her hand down. And if her dog came and licked it, she knew she was safe. And then one morning she got up and the dog had licked her hand the night before. And then the next morning she gets up and she walks into her bathroom to see her dog hanging from the shower curtain disemboweled. And on her mirror is written, humans can lick too.
Yeah. Great. Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, they were really obsessed with that one. They kept talking about it and doing it.
So Sandra does her scene and then she's supposed to go to be a coma patient on ER the next day. That's why no one's surprised when she doesn't show up ever again, apparently, because she forgets her keys somehow in the dog's organs. Why the fuck were you even in the dog's organs? That's inside the fact.
Why would your keys come in contact with dog organs?
So she goes back to get him. You see the masked figure with a fencing mask. Because guys, come on. Low budget here. Fencing mask. He puts a microphone on a held hand camcorder and films him killing her. Which is great. And he kills her. And the next day... they're watching the dailies, everyone else except for Sandra, and they see their film, which is horrible, and then they see the killer's film. We're like, this is awesome. Everyone's like, except for Amy. Amy's horrified. She's like, this isn't, I didn't film this. I don't know if it's horrified or just jealous. Which do you think it was? jealousy that someone did better than her.
She realized at this point that it was she, because she was like, she was kind of horrified. She was kind of like, she wasn't sure. Like, she thought, like, it, you know, because she knew that, what's her name, wasn't that good of an actress. Yeah, Sandra. No, yeah. So she's, so she had this look like, to me, she seemed like she was struggling with, did this really happen? Because she's not that good of an actress, but it couldn't really happen, right? It can't be real.
Apparently it could be. Again, not really an urban legend, though. He just kills her on the set of the urban legend. So, again, killer, I call foul.
Yeah, what the hell, killer? Come on.
Well, the next day, Amy finds Travis. Nope, it's not Travis. It's his non-evil twin. What? He has a twin brother that he never mentioned to anyone. Okay. Convenient. Plot. Points. Just saying it right there. And Trevor doesn't think that Travis killed himself. And he's going to investigate because he is Trevor. Private investigator.
His PI brother, Trevor. Clearly not just Travis.
It's Trevor.
In different clothes.
So during this time, Amy meets Reese, the cop. Well, she's a college cop, which we'll get into this later.
Security guard?
Security guard, thank you. She was at Pendleton from the first movie. She's the only one. She remembers the carnage, ha, and the chaos, ha, from Pendleton. And the cops didn't believe her. This is her stories. The cops didn't believe her, so she got fired. Oh, the university wanted to wrap it up and hush it up, so everyone thinks it's an urban legend. So she got fired because she didn't want to keep it under wraps, so she got hired by another university. Okay. Again, convenient plot point. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Reese, I love you, but you're still dumb as ever. Doesn't do what she's supposed to. Doesn't watch the videos or anything. And while Amy's out filming, they go late one night filming a scene. This urban legend is apparently, I've never heard this one. Everyone screams the stroke of midnight on finals to release tension. But while they're screaming, somebody gets killed at the same time. Well, it's Simon's turn. Oh, Simon, we're so sorry.
Oh, Simon
says,
like you, Simon.
Die by your camera. So yes, the killer beats him to death with his camera while they're filming this scene. While all these co-eds screaming as loud as possible. So answer me this, editor. She is filming. Well, she's doing the sound recording of these people, and she picks up Simon screaming in her headphones. How does that happen? Like, does the mic pick up from all the way outside or everything? I mean, how does that even happen?
I was gonna say, isn't he like outside or something?
He is.
I mean, I guess their mic could be that powerful. I don't know. I mean, I like our equipment wouldn't be able to pick it up. That's for damn sure, but. I don't know what kind of equipment she's, I don't know what kind of gear she's got. I don't know if you could get a mic, like a boom mic or something that would pick that up that far away. I don't think so, but I don't know.
It's fishy to me. She heard it through the headphones though. So she goes to Reese to try to get her to back up the camera. And Reese is like, no, I'm not backing it up an hour. So she takes the tapes. She just gives over the tapes to a student. Come on, Reese. This is why you got fired from Pendleton. Just saying.
No, really?
So Amy goes back to the studio and watches these tapes, and yup, sure enough, we see the fencing masked man kill Simon. Simple Simon. Aww. And then she freaks herself out by turning the lights on herself, but then fencing masked man is there. So he follows her around, placing chords on a piano to scare her.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can we talk about that for a second, though, for real?
Yes, please.
This was like my favorite part in the movie.
Okay.
Because he's doing the like little tinkling on the piano, but I didn't know where she was. You know, she's hiding from him, but I didn't know where she was. And then the way that the camera just like slid over to the left to show that she was right there on the other side. I was like, oh my gosh, like it got me a little bit.
Nice.
I was like, that was like the most the most scared I got. Like, that was like the best scare in the whole movie, and it was like barely anything, but I was like, okay, legitimately, that was kind of cool.
Agreed. And I do have to give her, Amy, props in this scene, because she does take the fire hydrant and blows out the lights instead of just turning them off. Smart move. So I do have to give her props for being a little bit smart.
Yeah.
But then she fucks it up by falling and running and falling again. And then falling into the, they go down to the dock and she falls into the fucking lake.
Oh my God. She falls so much. I just was so mad.
Dropping both tapes. Both tapes are gone now. Or one tape's gone. And yeah, she falls in the lake and he's chasing after her. And luckily she runs away into the tunnels and Reese catches up with her. She's like, how'd you see me? The video cameras, dummy. But apparently it didn't catch fencing mask murderer man, right? Let's see here. So the next night, because we're just going to keep going this. The next night, they're setting up yet another scene, because Amy's still the only one that knows about this killer. And she just keeps going on with the movie because she's got to get that Hitchcock Award, apparently.
Yeah, that's more important than dealing with the fact that that somebody's killing her, you know, friends and students.
Whatevs. Whatevs. It's yesterday's news. It's fine. We'll just keep going. It's totally fine. You know, I have to win my movie. So this one is the urban legend that has dead bodies in a carnival fun ride. Again, another one I've never heard of before. I think they were really grasping for straws at this point. And they're setting it up on this, I don't know if they broke in or got permission or whatever, but they're setting this up on this Mary Miners ride. And she's got Trevor following people, well, following her to keep an eye on her, but her and Graham get into it because he brought creepy PA Kevin, like, for some fucking reason, because everyone makes fun of him because he's tried to get into film school like 3 times and can't get in, so he's just PA to everyone.
Yeah, that sucks.
So she and Graham get in a fight, and Trevor ends up following Graham. Okay. Well, Stan and Dirk are setting up the special effects, which I do love them. They're funny. I mean, they're nerds, and they're part of the nerd reason. Like, CGI, no, never CGI. Well, that's not what Steven Spielberg said. You know, I just love their nerdiness. They're cute and adorable, and they're nerds, and I love them. So I will admit to loving that part of it. And I love they're all about practical effects, and I just adore that. Give me some corn.
Yeah, no, I love them too. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, good. See, there are some things to love about. Not much, but some things.
No, not much.
Well, Fence Mask Killer electrocutes both of them because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And Amy gets away again. Bravo. Then meets up with Trevor again. This is going really long. Meets up with Trevor, falls asleep with him, has a sexual dream about him where he then kills her, and then she wakes up and he's gone. Okay. She sees a light on the bell tower, and single white female thinks it's a good idea to let's go up in the bell tower alone. Okay. Well, Vanessa's up there because she got a note from Amy, which we didn't talk about this. Vanessa is a lesbian. Simon did hit on her, and she's like, no. If you were a girl, maybe. But no.
Yeah.
So apparently Amy sent her a letter that she liked Vanessa, or that she had a crush on. We don't even know what the note said, but apparently that's what it alluded to.
Yeah.
So because Vanessa doesn't know about the killer, Amy grabs her when the killer walks in, you know, is making noise. And Vanessa's like, what the fuck are we running from? What are we doing? Maybe clue someone in that there's someone
really
you. Just a thought. Well, killer grabs Vanessa and hangs her up from the bell. Aww.
Yeah, had Vanessa. To kill Vanessa.
Kill fucking everyone we liked. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So Vanessa Amy finally leaves. She finds Trevor. Trevor says, oh no, it's fine. Vanessa's dead. It's okay. No big deal. It's fine. Oh, by the way, she found Sandra and Simon's body up in the bell tower too. I forgot to mention that part. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're definitely dead, and there's your proof right there. Well, because it all matters about the Hitchcock project.
Oh yeah, they start watching The Gods of Men.
Yes, because maybe the secret's in there, and it's a horrible film. horrible.
It's terrible. They're all like, what the hell is going on? This movie sucks.
But Amy's going to have film suit to realize that the film has been spliced at the end and his credits have just been attached to a movie that's not his, probably. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
They think it's Toby that did this because he's the only one that worked on the film that is still alive. Okay. I would say he's the next victim, but okay, let's call him the killer. So they grab Toby with a fake gun and as they're interrogating him, Professor Salmon shows up, surprised that Travis is there, because wait a minute, I killed you. Oh, I mean, you killed yourself.
yeah.
And Toby, that's when Toby admits to, like, he didn't really do the sound. He didn't work on the film. He never saw the film. He only, you know, Travis just put his name on there so he could get a sound credit. That pisses Professor Salmon off. He's like, I gave you credit for nothing. And he shoots Toby, because that makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
So they run around, everyone runs around, fake guns get spilled all over the place, Graham shows up, he gets shot, Reese shows up with her gold-plated gun, which is gold-plated for Foxy Brown, Jackie Brown.
Foxy Brown, that's right. She's a whole lot of women.
Oh yeah, Foxy Brown. And it's a Mexican standoff because they all pick up guns after the guns all scatter. But luckily, Amy, who remembered Reese telling her about the gold-plated, picks up the right gun and shoots Professor Salmon. And it's all over. It's okay. Everyone's alive. We find out Graham's alive and Toby's alive well. And months later, Trevor is accepting the Hitchcock Award for his brother. But PA Kevin, he's up in the rafters with a gun and a laser and gonna shoot him. But Reese shoots him first. High drama. And it's just a film. I think the whole film was a film. No, I'm just kidding. this is Amy's film. Blah, blah, blah. So, end scene is, hey, look at that. Professor Salmon survived a shot, too, because everyone survives gunshots in his movies. Yay!
Wow.
And he's wheeled away by Brenda Bates, who she did return. She was the killer in the first one, Rebecca Gayheart, whom I love from Urban Legend and Dead Like Me and Scream 2 and so many other great movies. Rebecca Gayheart, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would have been the killer in this movie because you would have been better. So, and the reason that Solomon killed everyone is because A, he wanted to take Gods of Men or whatever the fuck that movie was and get his chance in Hollywood. Plus, it was a great way to kill Amy's friends and scare the shit out of Amy because she was going to eventually kill Amy because her dad is the one that kept him from getting his Hitchcock Award when he was a film student. Kept him as a teacher. Huh?
So, yeah, there you go. It's his fault. Not that he just wasn't quite good enough or whatever.
Exactly. Which, how could that be? He's awesome, right?
Right. So narcissist.
Here's what I was going to say real fast. Professor Salmon, thinking about killing Amy, thinking about killing all these people on God's Men, how am I going to do it? Then Amy comes in and hands him the idea of how to kill all these people and hide it. Oh my God, this is the greatest idea ever. Like, you gave your killer his idea.
That's so dumb.
Bad Amy. And he doesn't even stick to it. I mean, how many were really killed by urban legends, quote unquote? Let's see here.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. He doesn't even stick to the theme.
It's horrible.
He cheats all the time on the theme. It's like, where's your sense of pride? Where is your sense of dignity? And, I mean, have some class.
Seriously. Stay true. And don't kill all the cool people. You killed all the cool people. You left the douches. You left Chad, Toby, Chad, Graham. I'm going to call Trevor Chad because I think he is a Chad. Solomon's a Chad. You killed him. You didn't kill him. You kept him alive. I mean, really? Kept all the Chads alive? What is this, a Chad-filled movie?
Yeah, apparently it is. That's what I was thinking, too. A lot of Chads in this movie.
Really disappointed. I gotta tell you, very, very disappointed in this movie.
Well, do you want to rate?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I have all of my trivia in here because I did give some throughout, but I want to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Oh yeah, obviously the third film, Urban Legends, Bloody Mary, that went straight to video. There's no shock on that one, right? Did anyone shock?
No, about that
at all.
Not at all.
The kidney was a goat kidney.
Nice.
Okay, that's all I have. Okay, yeah, let's rate it.
Okay. All right. You want to rate first since it's your pick?
Yes. I'm sad and disappointed by this movie. Obviously, I had forgotten about it because it's been so many years since I've seen it. I was expecting better, and I was denied. So you get a 2.312.
Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Don't piss off Carnage.
Okay. Well, Chaos had zero expectations for this movie, and they were all met. So, you know, not so bad. Actually found it pretty funny in places that weren't meant to be funny. It was entertaining in a couple places, and there was one whole scare in it. So for me, it's going to have to be a 1.5.
Nice. Which is disappointing because it had a great cast.
It did.
It had nerdiness. It should have worked, and it just didn't.
I wanted to like it, you know. It was like film school. I thought that was cool. I wanted to like it.
Oh my god, especially with us being film nerds, you know. So
yeah.
I only have two fanfics, and the one is crossed over with Scream, and the other one's crossed over with some kind of mythology. So boo on fanfics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Should we fanfic it out?
So have you seen the third one?
You know what, I want to say I have, but I can't remember, honestly. It's kind of like this one, I think I blocked it out
because I feel like they were setting up the first two killers to come back in the third one as like a dream team.
No, it's
but I have a feeling that didn't happen.
No, it's a completely different killer.
Great. Okay.
I do remember that.
All right. So I guess with that disappointment, we will pimping it out.
Sounds good.
We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful podcast network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror. They have reviews, interviews, news, and suggestions. I mean, there's no way you can go there looking for a horror movie and then not find something bad. Fantastic that you didn't even know you wanted to watch. So go check it out. And we are hosted by anchor.fm because it's free. We are on social media at Podcast at Night on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We also have a Facebook community. We also really enjoy reviews. If you go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, screenshot and send it to us at podcastsatnight@gmail.com. We will send you a free vinyl sticker for your trouble. If you want one. If you don't want one, you don't have to take one. But if you are interested, and we do have a merch store as well, a Threadless store. The link will be in the show notes. And that has all kinds of stuff, stickers as well as mugs, shirts, you know, whatever, everything. So check that out. And that's it from me. So I will say goodbye from Chaos and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of disappointing cats. Meow.